Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome. All right. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Let's begin with a moment of silence. As Mother Teresa said, the fruit of silence is prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and enkindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit and they shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. The Lord, open my lips and my mouth shall proclaim your praise. Amen. Mary, our Immaculate Mother, Queen of Peace, pray for us. Amen. All right. Well, good to see you all again. If I haven't been able to meet all of you. Again, my name is Brother Manny, or Brother Emmanuel. I'm a conventual friar. I'm currently studying in Silver Spring, at CUA, living in Silver Spring, Maryland, down the street. And I lived here for my first year with the friars from 2012 to 2013. I went to Indiana for a year for my novitiate, and made my first vows last July, and so now I am currently studying theology at CUA and hoping to eventually teach in one of our high schools. We have Archbishop Curley in Baltimore and St. Francis in Buffalo, so I will hopefully get the opportunity to put the fear of God in some of our young men there. So we'll see what happens. All right, so I'm told that your theme for this part of the year, at least, was on prayer, on contemplation. And so I was talking with Bob and with some of the others here, and just how could I sort of tie in that theme with the theme of the vows or the promises of the evangelical councils of poverty, chastity, and obedience. So that kind of stumped me for a while. When I was on my little Christmas break, I was to see my sister is in a, since I joined the friars, she joined, last year my sister joined a convent in Kentucky of cloistered Passionist nuns. So I was there in this beautiful place with these wonderful holy women praying, how am I going to talk about this? Like, how do you, besides like praying, okay, Lord, make me poor, make me chaste, make me obedient, how does that apply to my prayer? So there are very, very few moments in my life when I feel like, when things suddenly click, I'm like, Eureka. But this was one of those times that I suddenly, like, I wrote basically, or I composed the ideas that I want to share with you now. First of all, just a disclaimer, most of you here have been involved with Franciscans or have been praying in a Franciscan way, you know, some of you longer than I've been alive even, but I'm here, and that's to your credit, it's not, this is, so I'm speaking basically from my reflections based on my limited experience. Some things drawn from what I was taught during my formation, especially as a novice. There were some wonderful retreats on the councils that I was privileged to go on that were led by some very holy friars. And also just my own looking at my own prayer life and such, that especially when you take on this life, especially as a friar, as you know, as seculars, prayer becomes something you think about a lot, something you worry about a lot. Am I doing it right? Why can't I pray more? Or how good is it? What not? So anyway, so this is my reflections. If it doesn't ring true with you, I'm not claiming you're a heretic if you don't agree. So anyway. All right, so first I suppose we'll start with the bottom knot. As we know, poverty is on the bottom because it's the closest to the ground. Obedience is on the top, because it's the most important, and chastity is in the middle so it doesn't slip off. But so in this case we will work in order from poverty. So beginning with poverty and prayer. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs the kingdom of God. The poor in spirit. So poverty and prayer. How many of us feel poor when you pray sometimes? Feel very just helpless, sort of destitute, empty, whatever else. How about distracted? If there's anyone here that never feels distracted in prayer, give me your number. Because, so, or is there anyone here that always knows exactly what to say or not to say in prayer, that always feels like, should I be, that always knows whether they should be saying something or whether they should be listening? If there's anyone here that describes, please let me know. Or if there's anyone here who never feels a sense of emptiness or insecurity in your prayer, please again, call me, teach me your ways. Or anyone who's never felt shame over sinfulness or ignorance in your prayer, everyone who always has time to pray and who never feels like it's hard to find time to pray. All of these things are things that I notice often in my life and that prevent me from praying, that make me not do it, that make me avoid it, that make me feel bad about it when I do it. But this poverty is, again, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. God created us. He knows us. He knows every one of these weaknesses. He knows that we get distracted. He knows that we sometimes feel like we don't know what to say. And yet he still calls us to pray. That in the gospel, the Lord, we're taught to pray always. It doesn't say pray well. It doesn't say pray like this person or that person. It says pray. So, as Franciscans, was Francis distraught? Did his poverty prevent him from praying? No, it fueled his prayer. He rejoiced in his utter dependence on God, on his having nothing to say, on his emptiness, that he rejoiced in that. And St. Paul did as well. You can read in his, you know, that when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Well, this applies here. This is poverty. And this is so important. This is, again, as I'm sure many of you have heard at some point, like there's a connection between the three evangelical councils and the theological virtues. So with poverty, the connection is hope. Faith, hope, and love. So this is hope or trust. That we can trust that whether or not, even if in the moments when we feel the most distracted, the least eloquent, the most empty, the most shameful, the most ignorant, or the most strapped for time, that it doesn't matter. We can trust that the Lord asks us to pray, and so we'll do it. He didn't qualify it. He just said, pray. This is our poverty, and we can rejoice in it. And if the Lord decides to raise us above poverty, like if we're given an opportunity where we have time to pray or that we're less distracted, thank God for that. Rejoice in that. But always know that, and he does give us what we need. He provides for our needs. He has the best spiritual social services system out there. You can't beat it. So but we're all on God's welfare. It's true, completely. So, all right. So we pray for this grace to rejoice in this poverty and to trust in the midst of that. Now to chastity in prayer. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Now, chastity in prayer. This is when everyone's like, oh boy. I'm how am I, you know, we can recognize, like, okay, I can be unchaste if I look at someone the wrong way or if I'm flirting with somebody or whatever else. But how does chastity apply to, like, me and God? Like, how could I be not chaste with God? Well, how many of us have not prayed because it didn't feel good or because you felt, you know, you weren't getting anything out of it? Isn't that what we call lust, in a way? That you can, that if you're like, if for those that are married and such, like if the only reason that you, or whatever else, if you're critical of your marriage, if you are struggling with it because you're not getting anything out of it, or it doesn't feel good, it doesn't please you. This is a reality that sometimes does, I know for myself, I'm speaking from myself, from my experience here, that this exists in my prayer life and that I have to fight it many times. You know, sometimes you're tired, like, I don't feel like praying, or I don't feel like taking this time with the Lord to commune with God. That sometimes I allow just my, how I'm feeling to affect that, but it shouldn't. And so, also in the realms of fidelity, that like when you make marriage vows, when you make vows, you are, you know, promising to be faithful to them, and that you'll be there, like, that you'll be consistent with that. And the same thing applies again to prayer, that sometimes we can have such a sporadic prayer life. And this doesn't mean we have to all become monks and, like, pray for hours a day, but be consistent. Isn't it a beautiful thing, like, when, like, if a man comes home from work every evening and sits down with his wife and they hold hands and share a cup of tea together or something. This is, in a way, this is like the beauty, the love that the Lord calls us to in our relationship with Him as well, that He invites us to these opportunities to encounter Him like that. So this is another area that this is so important. So again, and we can also, fasting and mortification, those are the classic tools that the church advocates for combating lust, for unchastity, whatever else, to keep custody of the eyes, whatever else. But this also helps us with our prayer too, because sometimes we have to fast from our own time, from our TV time, from our other things that we could be doing. They're all good things. It is so easy. I am a professed friar. I can say the easiest thing for me to do is to find excuses not to pray as much, or to put it off till later. There's so many things, and it's such a battle at times. But as we know, like if you're married to someone, it doesn't matter how tempted you are by somebody else, you're still going to be faithful to them. You're still going to go back. You're not going to allow yourself to stray. And if you do, you make up for it. In this case, you go to confession. You say, Lord, okay, I'm sorry. I haven't been consistent. I haven't been as faithful to our time together, to our special time, as I could have been. And this is, again, we're totally dependent on the Lord's mercy. We are poor. Sometimes we get so distracted. Sometimes we allow feelings to decide whether or not we're going to pray or not. But the Lord is merciful, and He knows us in our poverty. He created us, and He loves us, and He entered into our poverty to enrich us, to raise us up. Finally, obedience and prayer. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the land. The meek. To be obedient, as I was taught, is to be a master listener. That the root word in Latin for obedience is ob audire, which is to listen. Many, many times I recognize afterwards, of course, it's like, you know the story of Samuel in the Bible that wakes up in the night and stuff and has that beautiful dialogue with the Lord? I think a lot of the time I'm more like, I kneel down to pray, I go to chapel, All Holy, Pious, Good Friar, whatever else, and it comes out sounding a lot more like, listen, Lord, your servant is speaking, than speak, Lord, your servant is listening. I'm sorry, but this is me a lot of the time. Listen, Lord, your servant speaking. But how are we supposed to be obedient? How are we supposed to know God's will if we're not listening? That, like, looking at the call in the direction, the example of St. Francis himself, like, he wasn't listening, so you know what the Lord did to him? He imprisoned him for a year, and then, when he went back and still wasn't listening, then he got sick, and then he finally started to get it, and then, you know, before the crucifix, most high, glorious God, enlighten the darkness of my heart, that whole beautiful dialogue came from that. But ultimately, even St. Francis himself had a heck of a time, and I hope none of us have to wind up in prison for a year in a dungeon and then desperately ill before we start to get this. But it's not just so, again, and listening to the voice of God in our lives, but also just obedience in the simple realm of the Lord asked us to pray. So I think that goes without much explanation. He asked, and he gave us his example. Jesus himself would go out early in the morning to pray, to be by himself for the time in solitude. In the evenings he would go out. He would commune with his Father. Francis would do the same thing with Laverna. That's why retreat experiences are so important. That's why sanctifying the Lord's Day, sanctifying Sunday, doing things like coming to your secular Franciscan meeting to pray together, to spend this time, is such a beautiful thing, because it is allowing the Lord chance to reach you in many beautiful ways. So And also just one other thing too, with regards to the Holy Father, to the Pope, there is a lot of people don't even know. I didn't know until in college already, that the Pope actually asked the Church to join him in praying for some intention each month. I had no idea. And he asked that of us, to please join him. I think this month is for, I'm still not up to speed on this completely yet. Bad memory, but I think this month is for those in prison, if I'm not mistaken, for especially young people in prison, that he asked us to pray for those imprisoned. So these things, we can keep tabs on this stuff. We can pray in union with our Holy Father, that we know St. Francis was so clear always about being communion, about respecting the Holy Father, and so. And the same with bishops and such, like Archbishop Lori here. He certainly encourages people in his diocese to pray for different intentions, and also we certainly can be praying for our bishop and for the Pope and everything, like we do at every Mass, but in our own time as well. But there are many, many ways that this can be applied. So a simple thing that I would suggest in this case is to simply ask God, even in the little situations, to sit down, put yourself in his presence, and just say, you know, in Latin they would say, Quid vis me Domine, what is your will for me, Lord? What do you want of me? What is your will? And we tend to, you know, we're pretty good about that when it comes to major life decisions, like when I decided to come join the Friars. I was all over this, like, you know, Lord, you better make this pretty clear, because, you know, this is a big decision. But the Lord doesn't just want to be there in the big moments. Remember what he said about, you know, being trustworthy in the little things. So I think we would do well to bring that into our daily prayer life, to ask, Lord, what would you like me to do today? Or how would you like me to pray? Or if you're like faced between like doing some task which might be very important and taking the time you know you need to pray, to sit before the Lord and just say, Lord, which do you think I should do? And they say, well, how do I know it's him talking to me? Time and practice, you know, it starts to come. I'm starting to learn a little bit more. Most of the time, if he wants to get a hold of me, he has to whack me over the head with some sort of that's the great thing about having superiors, that they're very good about oftentimes telling you where you're lacking. So in my first couple years of formation, that's been a great blessing. I know it won't always be that way when I'm like, you know, Father Michael here and doing some other ministry, that we don't have friars that are, you know, sometimes like when you're novices, you always feel like he's breathing down your neck or something. You're like, oh no, this has been. But here, you know, this isn't about God being like, this is what you're going to do and you have no freedom. No, this is about coming to the Lord in love and asking him to direct you in your ways, because ultimately that's our desire as Franciscans, is to serve the Lord, to love the Lord, especially as Francis, that his big focus was obedience. Actually, we'll say, if you read Francis' stuff, he talks more about obedience than poverty. St. Clair was the big poverty person, I guess you could say, but for Francis, obedience was so important. So these are just some of my thoughts, some of my reflections on this, and it's just some points of meditation to think about, and hopefully find some encouragement that we can trust that the Lord is with us in this. But again, these councils, and again, so like the virtue that goes with obedience is faith, that to believe in God, and to, because you believe in him and in who he is, then we seek out his counsel, his wisdom, his guidance in our lives. And with chastity, of course, it's love. We can pray for love, to love God in our prayer. We can pray for the desire to pray. It's very important. So, but all these counsels are just a means, though. Poverty, chastity, and obedience. These are a means to an end. They're not. This is our road, especially as Franciscans. It's our road to humility. Humility is the foundation. There's two things that people say about St. Francis. He was humble and he was joyful. Why do you think he was joyful? It's because he was humble. So these are our road to humility. It's the foundation of our Franciscan joy, and on a deeper level of Christ-like love. Because love, there can't be love without humility. Humility facilitates that love. So evaluating these things in our prayer, not just in how we act with people and such, can help us to come to a more Christ-like love. And that's the key to our whole destiny. Union with God. For God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God in them. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Thank you guys so much.